Good morning. Welcome to Arts and More on WMUK, bringing you arts and culture from Southwest Michigan. I'm Rebecca Thiel. For some people in the U.S., Detroit has become the symbol of decay. Tourists and artists alike snap photos of old factories and shops, now just a memory of the city's once booming economy. There seems to be some kind of beauty in the ruins that draws people in. Jamal May is one of the guest poets at this year's Kalamazoo Poetry Festival. He grew up in Detroit and taught poetry in Detroit public schools. When he was writing his first book, Hum, May says he tried not to write about Detroit. It was too easy, and everyone was doing it. But in the end, May says the book ended up being about Detroit anyway. I spoke with him by phone.
I felt like I was more interested in people's interactions with each other and interior experiences. And once I had all these poems together, I realized they were the interior experiences of people I saw as Detroiters. And so I kind of, it was kind of a craft approach that led me away from it. And it's something I do commonly. If there's something I'm wrestling with or something that's kind of a tricky area to pull off, I'll just try to go completely left of it and kind of skirt the edge. And so by me trying not to write about Detroit, I feel like I ended up being able to get this other angle, because the thing that I think gets forgotten a lot in the national media or these kind of side glances the city gets is, you know, that, like, people, like, there are people living here, working, doing their thing, and have been for a long time. And people almost seem shocked that people live in Detroit. Like, when I travel the country, they're like, you live there? Like, yeah, it's a real place. So I think it was me trying to swerve away from the expected, the standard one-dimensional look that you tend to get about the city.
You address a lot of issues that we're all talking about today in your work in one way or another. You know, you talk about racism, gun violence, PTSD was mentioned. But you say that you don't start out thinking this is going to be an issues poem. You know, what's your process?
Usually we'll kind of start with a curious juxtaposition, like seeing two things in a new way as they press against each other, because I'm always looking for the space between things or the friction created. The polarity is just kind of what I think moves the world, really. Like, you got to have friction to get some kind of movement, right? So my process usually starts with finding something that is pushing and pulling with itself. And it might just be an image, it might be a metaphor, or it might be a weird phrase I overheard or a phrase I thought of. And then from there, it'll kind of spin out. And so when the socio-political issues come up, I think about the time I heard Surge from the band System of a Down. He was talking about why people were asking, you know, why they had why not all their songs were political, or why sometimes the songs were really silly. And he was saying because music was a representation of all that they are. And they're not always very serious. They're not always like partying, but sometimes they're either of those things. And so the issues that come up in my poems are more so just because I don't fight anything off. Anything that comes in makes it in.
I heard that you're kind of fascinated by the mechanical. You know, can you explain that?
Lately, the way I've been thinking about the mechanical is asking the question, what is unnatural? Because we think of the things that are human made as unnatural. But if you just think of the human as another creature on Earth that just builds things, what's more unnatural about the stuff that we build versus stuff that nature builds, like honeycombs and dams and things like that? And also looking at the mechanical, we think of metal. We might think of metal as cold and inorganic, but a metal comes from the earth as well. And so the way I look at the mechanical in my work is kind of considering machinery as an extension of humankind rather than this thing that humankind is up against. I think typically we'll pit the machine versus the human, but what we actually see more in our technological development is the machinery being a kind of side-by-side extension of what humanity can do. And so in this weird way, the machine kind of becomes a more spiritual kind of almost experience, in that it's an extension of the self that is outside of it. But for me, underneath that structure is something kind of more complex and kind of a deeper query that I think I go into a little bit in the second book.
Talking about the second book, which is called The Big Book of Exit Strategies, love the title.
Thank you.
That just came out this year. You talk about the pains of maturity and the loss of imagination. Now, you're still pretty young. Do you feel this shift happening as you get older?
I actually feel, well, strangely, I feel like my imagination right now is probably more potent than it was 5-6 years ago, in my, like, 20s. I haven't felt maybe the expected shift, but I have felt the shift. It's there's kind of been this realization that, and I think some of it came through writing through that, this process in the book, is that I'm always kind of creating paradoxes. So anytime I'm talking about the slipperiness of imagination, I'm using imaginative language to get there. So there's all the this is something that's kind of common in my work, creating these dualities. What's fascinating to me is to see the increasing pull away from the imaginative as you age, but the increasing capacity for it if you're paying attention, because my brain is more. I have more experience. I have more memories. I have more things to tap. What's unfortunate is that a lot of us, there's a pressure to not tap into that range of memory, because we are made up of whatever our memories are. So to remain what we would think of as solid or consistent, we may kind of narrow down the grouping of memories that we'll stick with. But what's beautiful is to be able to remember your full self. And I feel like poetry gives me that back, this ability to kind of remember more of me. So while I do feel there's a increasing pressure to be less than imaginative, I'm finding, at least personally, anecdotally for me, this increasing capacity to, like, explore. Like, I've been back to drawing and painting and music and all these other art forms that I kind of thought of as for when I was young. That, like, all of these kind of things are back as part of my life. So I don't know, it's kind of a strange paradox to feel the pressure to not be while feeling the capacity expand.
Would you be able to read a poem for us?
All right, so I'll do a poem from the Big Book of Exit Strategies. There are birds here for Detroit. There are birds here. There are so many birds here is what I was trying to say when they said those birds were metaphors. For what is trapped between fences and building. No, the birds are here to root around for bread, the girl's hands tear and toss like confetti. No, I don't mean the bread is torn like cotton. I said confetti. And no, not the confetti a tank can make out of a building. I mean the confetti the boy can't stop smiling about. And no, his smile is not much like a skeleton at all. And no, their neighborhood is not like a war zone. I'm trying to say their neighborhood is as tattered and feathered as anything else, as shadow pierced by sun and light parted by shadow dance as anything else. But they won't stop saying how lovely the ruins, how ruined the lovely children must be in your birdless city.
Jamal, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jamal May is one of two guest artists at this year's Kalamazoo Poetry Festival, along with Natalie Diaz. Both poets will do a reading tonight at 7 at the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts. To hear the full interview with May, visit our website. That's all for Arts and More this week. I'm Rebecca Thiel. You can hear Arts and More Fridays and Saturdays on WMUK, and check us out online at WMUK.org. Thanks for listening.